Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And we are back for our weekly meeting. I'll go first. I'm Hal. I'm an animal-holic. I love my animals. It's really not a problem. I mean, I enjoy it. Some people might call it a problem. Some people may say, well, he doesn't spend time with me anymore because he's always with his animals. I like my animals.
Yeah, too bad to them.
So welcome to the meeting.
That is my pet, Diane, cat who just knocked over my microphone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diane. Yeah. They're everywhere we are, aren't they?
They pretty much are. You know what? I was unaware that you even had a cat in there. They were all dogs in there. But it's a newsroom full of animals in there. You should see the fur flying sometimes.
Everybody gets along.
Everybody does get along very well.
I'm
amazed.
See, I don't have a problem. I just have a few animals, and I don't have a problem. I can give them up any time.
You could.
No, you would.
You lie.
This is some intervention going on here now.
It is some intervention.
Yes.
On today's show, we're going to find out the whole deal behind pentobarbital, which has been found in some... Pet foods.
Oh.
It's a euthanasia agent, which is usually used to euthanize animals. And we're having our expert back on today from the Clean Label Project. What is her name again? Oh, Jacqueline. Jacqueline Bowen, right?
Yes.
Just a guess. God, I can't believe that. I actually remembered that name. Well, it's important to me. Jacqueline is, she works for an organization that has done a lot of tests on the food that you feed your animals. And it's only getting worse from what I hear.
Terrible.
Yeah, we had her back on. Last year, talking about how all our animals are getting cancers from pet foods as well.
You know what's happening is all these companies are buying up all the foods. Like we found out Natural Balance bought by Smucker's. That was actually about a year ago. And that was one of the foods.
And then we found out that when there was more pentobarbital in some of the canned dog food a couple of weeks ago, that was in dog foods that were manufactured by Smucker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to get the lowdown on that with Jacqueline coming up sometime before we leave today right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on over there?
Well, because we all love happy endings, uh-huh. And especially when it involves a homeless animal getting a home. We got a great story for you about a poor little guy that was left abandoned, tied to a tree in the woods.
What?
Yeah. All ends well, though, and I'll give you the details.
Okay, that's on the way. Joey, what are you working on?
Well, you know how we change our hairstyles, at least I do every now and then. Your pet has choices, so let's talk about how we can, you know, make your pet look a little bit better.
Now, when you say pet, though, Joey, is that just pretty much dogs?
Pretty much dogs. Cats are a little bit more of a problem. They don't like to sit in the chair and, you know, and get their hair done. sit under the dryer
can't
so much.
That.
But cats can. Don't get me wrong. I have some really, really great creative cat pictures at one of my grooming shows. But for the most part, we're talking about dogs.
Okay, that's on the way in just a few minutes. First, your phone calls. Hi, Char.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Los Alamitos, California.
Okay. I know the area very well. So what's going on?
Well, I have a 5-year-old tabby named Cherub, and she likes to bite. And she's been this way for 5 years. She just likes to bite, and sometimes she attacks me.
Is she your only kitty?
Yeah, she's my only kitty.
Okay. And what are you guys doing before the bites happen? Are you petting her? Is she playing with you? What's going on?
Well, like the other night, she was at the end of my bed, and I accidentally kicked her, and she got mad and attacked me. And
okay.
So I said, no, Cherub, no, no biting, no biting. And I clapped my hands, and she left the room. But I used to sleep with her, and she didn't bite that much. She would just bite a little bit. But now, ever since that happened, she's been biting more. But she is a good kitty. I do love her very much.
Yeah, and how old was she when you got her?
Just a baby, just like 8 weeks old.
8 weeks? Okay. Yeah. So there's a couple things going on here. With a kitty of that age, you know, if we are sending kitties into home at 8 weeks of age, they don't always get enough of socialization. And there's different forms of socialization. So just like dogs, you know, good behaviors and manners are developed by being taught by either our peers or by the humans that are involved with, you know, dogs and cats when they're at that age. So at 8 weeks, she didn't really have much time with her peers. So any kittens, you know, we kind of plucked her out of that situation, and she didn't have that stimulation inside the home. And she also didn't have her mama around. And a lot of times it takes a mother's influence to kind of set these youngins right. And this is why for a lot of dog breeds as well, a lot of the larger dog breeds, we encourage them to stay with mom longer because they learn those proper things about bite inhibition and how to behave and get along well with others. When we don't have that early experience, or especially I see this a lot in kittens that are hand-raised. So, you know, maybe they're fosters that mom was, you know, died and there's no mom around to take care of them. We do see that biting can be more of a problem because of this lack of the socialization. So not to say that, you know, all hope is lost, but we understand where this is coming from. And so there's a couple of things, Char, that I think that I would ask you to do differently than what we are doing currently. One is that punishment really has no place for a cat that is doing a biting behavior. It actually, just like a dog, it can escalate the situation. It can make them more anxious, and can actually drive for more, vigorous biting that can be followed after the punishment. So for cats with this, we don't punish. We just disassociate with the behavior. So if she's biting you, with whatever is triggering it beforehand, you're petting her, you're walking down the hall, you're lying in bed, we need to get her out of that situation. So if that means you get up and move out of the room, scooch her out of the room, we're ceasing that contact. It's just not, we're not going to try to reason her through that. So if that means this happens regularly when you're sleeping, I would shut the door. She should not be sleeping with you, because then you're just repeating this behavior over and over again, and you're setting her up to have more failures, basically. We do want to reward her for being quiet, calm, and allowing you to interact with her in a positive way. So if she's sitting by you on the couch, you know, this is a time we might give her treats, or we might play with a toy in a kind of non-hands-on manner. So kinds of like the cat dancer toys, toys on fish poles and strings, things where you are out of that physical equation are really what she needs. Nothing where you'd be close, getting your hands tussling with her, or getting it as part of the play item itself.
I shouldn't sleep with her anymore then, right?
No, if she's biting you every night when you move your leg, that this is not a healthy situation for you or for her. I would provide a comfortable place for her where she feels like that's cozy. It may be a perching spot. It may be, you know, a cat tree. It may be a type of a window seat, something where she can have a little bit more of a cozy, elevated position. But, yeah, if this happens all the time.
After she bites me, what should I do? After she bites me and attacks me, what should I do?
So just like a kid, we don't want to reward that behavior with any kind of attention. Negative attention is still attention. So if biting means I get mom to scream, to run, to do something, then she's actually getting the response she wants every time. So it's hard, but you don't want to get excited. You basically want to either remove yourself from the situation, shut a door between you, or to have her follow, go into another area, throw a toy, throw food, get her to a different location without a lot of drama and without all of the the corrections. We aren't going to talk and reason a cat through this behavior. So most humans, that's what we do. We're like, hey, stop that. What are you doing? I love you. Why are you doing that? So that's not our approach we want at all. It's not going to help get through.
Originally, they told me to squirt her with a squirt bottle.
And I don't like that in the situation for that same reason. Yes, it can disrupt the behavior, but so can you walking away. So I would rather not distress the pet in this situation. I would rather try to see these episodes coming, know what triggers it. So if you know walking down a certain hallway, she sees you and she wants to chase your heels, you should have a toy in your pocket. You should have something so you can toss it and throw it in another direction so that you don't become the target, so that you have some kind of distraction.
Is it okay if I pick her up? Sometimes she bites me when I pick her up, but sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes she likes it when I pick her up.
Well, you know, this is where we need to read her behavior. There are clues that cats are telling us every time we're interacting with them. And you just have to get savvy at reading before you get bit. Because those clues are there. Now, if she is seeking out attention and she wants to be picked up, that's great. But if she bites you more than 50% of the time when you pick her up, I'm going to ask you not to do that. Because then we are creating that physical contact that she's not asking for. She'll jump on your lap if she wants to be held. I wouldn't make that choice for her. One thing I want to mention, Char, and I think this is important for single cat households to realize, is that cats are predators. You know, when they're out in the wild, they're hunting, they're doing their job. They are occupying anywhere between 15 to 46% of their day hunting. So that means they are spending that much time doing these predatory behaviors, jumping, pouncing, leaping, attacking. In a house cat situation, especially a single house cat situation, we don't have that opportunity for them. So we need to create that with scheduled playtime, and to do that in a positive way with those kind of toys that are away from you. We need to do that for at least twice a day, three times a day, 5 to 15 minutes per session.
What about a scratch post?
Yeah, that's fine. Scratch post isn't a very interactive thing, so it's only going to keep her interested for a short period of time. So what I'm talking about is actually scheduling playtime where you have a toy or toys. Generally, we have to switch it up with cats and schedule playtime. And if she starts to get agitated and she starts to get to where she wants to bite, then we stop. But if we don't expend this energy, she is just going to find the opportunity, and it's going to come out when you don't want it. So that would be my thing. It's a prescription for trying to tire this baby out and give her what she's lacking in her household situation. She doesn't have a friend to play with. She just has you, and she has half of her day she wants to spend hunting. So let's give her that opportunity, and then hopefully you won't become the hunted object.
It sounds like you're a great cat owner. It sounds like you're very attentive to your cat.
I really am. I love her a lot.
Well, thank you for calling today, Char, and let us know how it goes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call today from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, and even I try to stay away from the news. You may be one of these people, too, that just you can't turn on the TV, you can't watch the news. But even me...
But I'm safe news. I'm safe news.
You are
here.
Safe news. And we'll
they're
tell you,
fake news, I'm safe news.
And you're very real news.
Yes.
One of the pieces of news you can't miss that came out this last week was talking about the pentobarbital being found in several major brands of food.
Of pet food.
And it probably got your attention. You probably said, okay, do I have this food? Am I feeding my animal this food? And chances are really good that you might be feeding your animal some food that's been tainted. That's at least according to Jacqueline Bowen. She works with the Clean Label Project. She is no stranger to Animal Radio. And she'll be coming on telling us a little bit about the whole pentobarbital thing and how it ends up in your dog food, or speculation as to how it ends up in your dog food. Also, we're going to have the UTI doctor on.
UTI?
What? Really? You got to call the UTI doctor? Apparently, that stands for urinary tract infections. These are big deals, aren't they, doctor?
They sure are. I didn't know we had a UTI doc.
Yeah. He says that your cats could get this urinary tract infection through stress. They could be stressed out and they can get this infection.
Yes.
Is that correct?
You know what? I had a cat today with what I suspect is this stress cystitis, or what we call sterile cystitis.
Ooh.
And it really freaks people out when we say, hey, we didn't find any bacteria, but they don't understand how it could still happen. This is probably the number one cause of straining cats with bloody urine in my practice.
Okay. So we'll talk UTI in a few minutes with Dr. Tony Buffington, the UTI doctor. Right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on over there in the newsroom?
Well, if you think that you might be the only one who loves your pet more than another person in your life, you are wrong.
Really?
We've got the results of a brand new study that's out on this and how much we love our pets coming up.
Hey, Vaughn, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Where are you calling from?
Yeah, right now I'm going through Needles, California.
Okay, well, you are on with Dr. Debbie. Who are we talking about today? What, the cat or the dog?
The cat.
Okay, what's up with your cat?
Okay, we was living in one place, and we decided it needed to be bigger, so we jerked it out and put another modular unit in. But before we moved over the modular unit, he just seemed like he liked to urinate in the floor all the time, in the hallway. Well, after we moved out of there, now he's wanting to go in the living room.
Okay. And when he's urinating, where is he urinating exactly? In the center of the room, against the walls, in the corners?
Basically about anywhere he decides to. He don't have a really direction that he wants to. Like, one time it can be in the middle of the floor, one time it can be close to the wall, one time it can be up against the washer or dryer.
Okay. And does the kitty go outside, or are we just staying inside?
He just staying inside.
Okay.
Unless he sneaks out.
And is he a neutered kitty? Has he been
altered?
Very good. And do you have other cats running around the house too, or just him?
I got about 9 other ones outside.
Holy cow, 9.
Yeah.
Now do any of those cats come inside?
Well, they sneak in.
Okay. Alrighty. Now, is there anything else going on with the kitty that has you concerned? Anything else as far as not feeling right? Any kind of discoloration to his urine? Does it seem like he's peeing excessively, or is it about his normal amount?
Things about normal. It's just like, you know, he'll get upset, and that's when he, you know.
Sounds like we've lost. We've lost Vaughn. Yeah, we've lost him. He was on a cell there. Hopefully he's listening. Okay. But this is a problem that we've had around the Animal Radio studios. There's so many cats outside that the cats inside spray to mark their territory. I believe that's what's going on. Could that be what's going on with him?
You know, absolutely. It's a very confusing situation when, you know, he's got different signals and different thoughts. You know, cats that are indoors can live a happy indoor existence, but when we start to have personalities in cats that they're seeing and smelling, that live outside, then there's a whole territory kind of question. So, you know, it's very possible that your kitty could be having problems where he's trying to mark his turf. You know, I'd first want to make sure we don't have a health problem, and you always should have a urine check to make sure we don't have any infections or stones or problems of those natures. But boy, it really sounds like he has the possibility that he is just frustrated. We'd really need to figure out some way to accommodate his world differently. We would want to either keep the blinds closed, keep the other cats out, and let him live his happy indoor existence, or make an accommodation where, you know, we've got, a certain cat that stays inside with him. There's so much that goes into the marking of their territory that some cats will spray on corners, some will spray in the middle of the floor, others will go into bathtubs, and sometimes right in front of your very face. So I'd really want to make sure that we kind of block the scenario where these other cats could be, seeing your kitty. And then at the same time, make sure everything's kosher with that litter box, because if it stinks, your cat's not going to want to use it. So you want to make sure you change the litter frequently. Sometimes we'll even play around with the litter types and try some different varieties out there for your kitty. But if there's any concerns, I'd definitely make sure we get him checked out with the vet, give him a clean bill of health in his urinary tract, and then work on some of those environmental things where we can try to modify things.
Make sure it's not a urinary infection.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times we miss that possible infection, and we rule it off as a behavioral problem, and there's really like a chronic illness going on. So you don't want to miss that. It's a common mistake.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books. If you love stories about finding strength through the wisdom of dogs, look no further than A Reason for Hope by award-winning author Kristen von Kreisler. It's a beautifully uplifting story about a courthouse dog named Hope, who's trained to comfort victims throughout the legal process. A Reason for Hope is now available everywhere books are sold. And if you need more information, you can visit them over at kensingtonbooks.com. Thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discreet sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. Here's a perfect example of why pets need their vaccinations. We're talking about rabies now. A family dog in Delaware has tested positive for rabies, and that was after biting two of his adult owners while they were attempting to put him in a kennel, and the dog wasn't happy. He got aggressive with them, and two bites happened. Well, apparently the dog was also allowed to roam free when he was outside, and he wasn't supervised outside, was not on a leash, and his yard was not fenced. So it's pretty much impossible to know how that dog contracted rabies. And also, the dog was not up to date on his shots. Rabies is an infectious disease affecting the entire nervous system of humans and mammals. And infection happens with a bite or even a scratch from an infected animal, or if saliva from an infected animal gets into the eyes, nose, mouth, or opening in the skin of a bite victim. Well, just by the fact that you're listening to this show, I pretty much know that you are an animal lover, right? And boy, do we animal lovers really love our pets. The results of a new survey are out to prove it and show that more than a third of us actually prefer being with our pets than anyone else. If I had taken that survey myself, I would have been in that group. What about you?
Of course.
A study of 2,000 cat and dog owners shows more than half of them prefer spending time with their pet than anyone else because they, you know, the pets love unconditionally. They don't nag or talk back, and they're always in a good mood, and they're always happy to be with you. 3 in 10 adults say their pet is a better listener than their partner, while 45% like the fact that they are never judged or questioned by their pet. 29% of the people polled say their four-legged friend is better at snuggling, and as much as 44% actually prefer to snuggle and cuddle up with their pets other than their human half. And more than 4 in 10 pet owners admit to giving their pet far more attention on a daily basis than their significant other. I must confess, I worry about that. I notice that, how much attention and affection you give your pets, and or I give my pets, and then, you know, everyone else not so much. But otherwise, in addition, when faced with a decision to choose a pet or a partner, only 14%, I thought it would be higher, but 14% would rather spend the rest of their life with their pet.
I'm there.
Me too.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. You just can't ask for better love. And because we all love happy endings, right? An abandoned dog that was found tied to a tree in the woods of Virginia has finally found its forever home. So many thanks to the Prince George County Animal Shelter in Virginia. Zeus was a 2-year-old German Shepherd lab mix. He was abandoned by his owner. They left him along with a note at a tree. She tied him to a tree and said that she could no longer afford to care for him any longer. I know, and also found near where Zeus was discovered was a half-eaten bag of dog food, and the shelter really believes that that was a clue, and they think that they rescued Zeus on the same day that he was left in the woods because it was a rainy day that day, and the bag of dog food was still dry. But the shelter posted an update on its Facebook page just last week that Zeus has found his forever home.
Oh, yay.
And yeah, they also took a little bit of time to urge pet parents who are unable to any longer care for their pets to please reach out to their local shelter or rescue. Right. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is Justin Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. I'm on Animal Radio. Adopt a pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It is Animal Radio. We love ourselves some pets, and we do some crazy things for them. And Judy, you know I was going to mention this, that I slept in a doghouse.
Not
twice,
once, but twice.
Twice.
Yes, yes, you did, for a week at a time.
And that was mostly to raise money for a local SPCA. It was fun. It was actually the genesis of Animal Radio and leaving what was, you know, commercial radio for this. To help our animals.
But you did it in the summer.
I did do it in the summer. It was warm.
Crazy.
Our next guest, Ian Matheson, is joining us. He works for Field Services for the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals in Stratham, New Hampshire. Hi, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. So now tell listeners what you did.
So I spent the night in a doghouse outside during the winter instead of the summertime, so it was a little bit colder.
What kind of temperatures?
We're talking in, I think we got down to 21.
Ooh.
Ooh, so there must have been snow on the ground?
We actually, we originally planned it on an earlier date, and that was supposed to be a snowstorm, so we postponed it. We did have some snow on the ground still, though.
So now, why did you do this?
I've actually seen a couple articles coming out from the Midwest about dogs that have frozen inside of doghouses, especially the igloo types. Actually, can I put you on hold for 1 second? Why?
Sure. It is Animal Radio, and our guest Ian Matheson has put us on hold for just a second here.
Can I do that?
Duty calls.
Yeah, I understand. So now tell us one more time. You were out. It was like 20 degrees, and you were doing it to raise attention to the people leaving their dogs basically out in their doghouse overnight, and a lot of fatalities that have happened this year and crazy stuff. It's been kind of a cold winter, and more
it
and more people.
Been, yeah. Especially up here.
Yeah.
With all the snowstorms we're getting. Hold on 1 second again.
Yeah. So, very busy guy. He's actually busier than Dr. Debbie, who's. Dr. Debbie's a pretty busy guy.
He gets called away more than she does.
He does. Yes, he does. Yes. Well, you know, working all for right. the. Yeah. So,
well, I guess I would think that if the dog was in the doghouse, they'd be protected.
And you'd think that too, and that's what I think when I started out. But a doghouse does not provide the most. It does provide protection from the wind, but doesn't really retain body heat the best. You know, when you're talking about plywood, and you know, you might have some shingles on the roof. Per New Hampshire state law, they don't have to have a door. It's they go in, turn around, and lay down, and it has to retain their body heat. So it's particularly the size of the doghouse to retain the body heat of the dog.
Unlike Judy, I know that I wouldn't leave my dog out in that kind of weather. And you know what? It blows me away to hear that people do that, especially now that we have our animals. Usually, I'll tell you where my animal is when it's 50 degrees, sleeping on the bed, and I will shape into whatever shape I need to accommodate that animal and make sure that they're comfy and warm. It's hard to believe that some other people don't do that.
Right.
So how long did you last out there?
We lasted 5.5 hours.
Wow. And what was the factor that you decided, okay, I've had enough?
It was when our feet were starting to freeze and the temperature was starting to drop. And actually, my body temperature was 1 degree lower than my partner that was doing it as well.
Okay.
So we decided to call it.
Okay. For those that don't want to let their animals in the house, but they have a dog house out back, what do you recommend this time of year? I mean, the
insulation, if you can insulate your dog house, that's the best thing you can do and put a flap on it.
Yeah.
Well, like the straw or hay, isn't that a great insulator?
It is, and that's what most people believe. But actually, dogs, we've seen it, they'll kick the straw and hay out because they don't like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you give them like a blanket to lay on or a bed.
Yeah.
Styrofoam is a good insulator as well.
Styrofoam, yeah. Which is, you know, something you can't recycle, so just keep a little for the house there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right. Like you could do styrofoam and hay on the walls and use that as an insulator. That's a really great insulator.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time today, Ian. Thank you for spending it with us.
Thank you.
Get back to work there.
Ready.
And, you know, as I always say, I mean, come on, bring that animal inside. I mean, they should be inside, at least in the garage, in your heated garage. Remember, if you can't go outside in the cold, then they can't.
If you're cold out there, then they're cold out there.
Yeah. Right.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Things looked bad for Sharon Lorio. She had lost control of her car on a curve, rolled down a hill, and was thrown from her car in a heavily wooded area in Georgia. Then things looked even worse when out of nowhere came a large furry animal. Sharon was bruised and covered with blood and was now afraid she was going to be eaten by some wild animal. When a friendly dog walked over to her and licked her face. The 70-pound dog then pulled her by her shirt collar, dragged her for about 50 yards through briars to the highway, and let her lean against them so she could flag a passing motorist. The wayward dog, now named Hero, was then taken to the animal shelter where his owners declined to take him back because he was always wandering off. Sharon wanted to adopt him, but she already had 6 dogs. But don't worry, so far 50 people have expressed interest in adopting Hero. But he's meeting with a trainer for the chance to work as a rescue dog, something he loves doing naturally. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Alan Cable, it's time now for you and your dog. Want to hear that?
Yeah.
Who's the cute fuzzy little... Who's got the fuzzy... Who's got the cute little fuzzy... Oh, your nose is so wet. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it... No, off the tape, off the table.
Good baby.
You want a treat? Mommy loves you. Mommy loves you.
Woohoo!
No, I'm going to scratch the special spot on your tummy to make your little leg kick. Oh, yeah,
I love that part. And now, Times Animals Interrupted News Reports. Here's a kitty that decided to jump on the news person's shoulder while she's reporting.
Oh my goodness. That's a way to start a Thursday, Nicole.
Here's a weather guy at the zoo in Australia when a pelican decides to bite him on the bottom.
Do you love it?
The anchor guy says, do you love it?
Do you love it?
I'm gonna be mentally
Ridley Scott.
This is
Animal Radio, baby. You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
I've been promising it. You've been waiting at the edge of your seats. You ready to talk UTI?
Let's talk UTI.
Okay. We have Dr. Tony Buffington. He's a professor of veterinary clinical sciences at the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
So what is UTI and is it only in cats?
Well, no, actually, the that is one of the many confusing parts of the disease that I study. UTI is an acronym that stands for urinary tract infection.
Okay.
And urinary tract infections in cats are actually quite uncommon.
Really?
But the signs of a problem related to the bladder all look the same because the cat pees blood, it pees outside the litter box, it sits in the box and screams, all those things. And there's 30 different diseases that have been identified that can cause that. Now, fortunately, they're not all equally likely. Some are much more common than others. And since in people, urinary tract infections are quite common and result in the same signs of pain and constantly needing to go to the bathroom, the assumption is made that because the signs are the same, the disease must be the same.
Is there a link between stress and these UT issues that we're talking about?
Okay, absolutely. And so I spent my entire career learning about that, because it turned and so just a little history. In the early 1990s, I received funding from the National Institutes of Health to study these urinary tract problems in cats as a naturally occurring model of a disease called interstitial cystitis in women, which is a chronic pelvic pain syndrome. And it turns out that, as far as anyone can tell, it's the same disease in two species. What we did with the studies is that we had people who were going to have these cats euthanized because they were not acceptable pests to them anymore, donate them to our research colony. Mm-hmm. And what we noticed, the things we noticed when they came in is, first of all, they didn't just have lower urinary tract problems. Many of them had problems with their lungs or their skin or their GI tract or their behavior. And after they got into the enriched enriched environment of the cattery we were keeping them in, all of their signs went away.
Were you scratching your head at that time?
Actually, that started making it easier, because the only way that those organs can communicate with the environment is through the brain. So the brain had to be reading something in that environment that it found threatening for long enough that it started that those organs started to function abnormally. Stress is the cause in about 2/3 of the cases, though. So it's the most common cause.
Okay.
And the way people will notice that they're not using the litter box anymore, or that they're hiding, or that they're starting to act. You'll pick them up and they'll try to bite you because their belly hurts. Those kinds of things. They go into the litter box 20 times a day. Instead of 2 to 3, which is normal.
And that would be a sign that they're stressed, is that they may not be using the litter box?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. What can we do to lessen our pets' stress, ultimately?
Well, with cats, what we do is change the environment, and we decided to do that just because of the research that we had done. When the environment changed, the animal got better. And so we have a conversation with the owner to try to find out what's going on in the environment. Does the cat have a safe place where it can go? Is it being bothered by other cats or the dog or whatever? Does it have chances to climb and chances and opportunities to scratch in places that are okay, so the owner's not yelling at it or throwing a can at it or squirting water at it? One of those kinds of things. And so we restructure the environment. At the same time, we try to talk to the owner and explain to them that it's just that cats are just a little bit different from other species. And so if you put these things into place and let them choose what they want to do, they often get better. So for example, if someone thinks they want to change the diet or change the litter, you don't just take the old diet or the old litter away and give them the new one, because the cat might not even know what it is. So you always change it as a choice in a separate container next to the usual one.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that tip before, but that's great.
Yeah. And then the other thing that we do, and I'm biased here, but we've published on it, and I'm biased because I'm a nutritionist. Cats are hunters. I mean, that's what they were on this planet to do, and then they just came into contact with us a few thousand years ago, and we changed their lives. And so we've become really big fans of using of putting their food in different kinds of puzzles, so that they can so that they have the opportunity to hunt and find their food. And we find that that really improves their perception of control of their surroundings, which is what stress is when you lose your perception of control.
These are great. If you want more tips like these, head on over to fearfreehappyhomes.com. And, of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. Dr. Tony Buffington, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Hi, this is Doug Gray of the Marshall Tucker Band. And forever, you'll always be listening to Animal Radio. Keep loving those pets.
Award-winning author Kristen von Kreisler is known for her novels about dogs and how they bring out the best in humans. Her newest, A Reason for Hope, is an uplifting story of resilience, redemption, and a special yellow lab named Hope, a courthouse dog who's trained to comfort victims and witnesses. When a woman's life is upended by trauma, Hope gives her the courage to seek justice. A Reason for Hope by Kristen von Kreisler is available everywhere books are sold. For more info, visit KensingtonBooks.com.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And the pet food recalls, they just keep coming in. It's sad. And it's amazing to find out what they're finding in the foods. You know, like salmonella, kind of nature-born, it's hard to control that.
That happens.
Yeah. I can understand that. We've all heard about the pentobarbital being found in several major brands of food. This is a drug that's usually used to euthanize animals. We're going to find out a little bit about it this hour with Jacqueline Bowen from the Clean Label Project. She's our guest again, and she'll tell us some interesting things about food that you may not have known about and you want to know before you go out shopping for pet food again.
Did you know that pentobarbital is actually, when animals are euthanized, it can actually, if you bury your pets at home, it'll contaminate the soil?
Really? And what does it do to the soil? Does it get into your fruits and vegetables or what?
Well, I mean, there's studies that actually show that, like, they did this with horses, that when they buried them, it could last anywhere from 3 months to 12 months in the soil. Mm. Wow. So it basically, it's a reason why a lot of communities have rules against burying pets within the city limits.
Because, oh, I didn't know that.
A lot of people have gardens and so forth. So it can get into the dirt. It can get into the water. So that's one of the reasons why proper animal disposal is important. So not saying that that's what's going on in this situation, but it's just something for, I think, people to think of. It's actually a drug that's no longer being metabolized, and without a body to metabolize it, it just sits there.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, you figure that they say that you can't flush your pharmaceuticals down the toilet because it contaminates our water supply.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything you flush down the toilet, drugs are going to end up in the water, and those things aren't always filtered out. So it's just something.
Well, I've had horses and dogs put down with it, and it's for the horses. I mean, it's multiple, huge
amounts
of syringes.
Yeah. I guess it might be an argument for cremation.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. Oh, okay. So you still euthanize them using pentobarbital, but you...
Then you would cremate the body instead of burying it, Hal.
Yes, I got that. Took
you're
me a
little
second.
Slow.
I am a little slow on the uptake.
No, you just throw them in the fire alive, Hal.
Oh, my gosh. More coffee, please. What else do we have?
Well, one pet food company is being gobbled up by a big behemoth company that doesn't even make pet stuff.
No surprise.
It's happening again, yeah.
Okay, that's on the way in just a few minutes with Lori Brooks and our check on the news. And let's go to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I have two air-conditioned leather couches now because I am sharing my residence with a beautiful tiger cat named Tommy.
Tommy, how fabulous. So what's going on with Tommy?
Okay, number one, she likes to sleep with me, which I just love. or sometimes I'm just lying down. She'll come up on my lap or on my chest, and either sitting or standing, she'll take her left and right front paws and push down alternately, you know, like she's walking in place. And I'm sure she has some code involved, and I figured Vet Debbie would know about that, and well, so let me know.
Isn't that making biscuits?
Yeah, a lot of different terms for that. Some people call it making dough, kneading biscuits, but that kind of right, left, alternating. A lot of cats, when they do it, they will kind of drool even, or kind of look like they're in some kind of trance, that kind of like in another place. But rest assured, Paul, this is good. This is normal kitty behavior. They usually do this when they're content. And so it just kind of means I'm in a happy place. I'm loving life right now, and all is good. You know, sometimes it can be associated with other behaviors that may not be so good. But, you know, if it's just when you guys are hanging out and sleeping, you know, Tiger or Tommy is just kind of telling you that, you know, hey, I'm happy with the situation, and I love you.
Oh, that's nice. Now, she also gets on her back sometimes, and she usually almost always doesn't like me to scratch her belly. She'll put her claws out a little bit lightly, and then and try to bring my hand down to where she can bite me, and she bites me very lightly. And then sometimes she just sort of wants to bite me lightly anyway. But do you know why she doesn't necessarily want her tummy, you know, petted or something? You know, midriff. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I describe the belly as the no-touch zone for cats. There are very few cats that actually enjoy that kind of stimulation in that area. There are certain areas that they find it more inviting to be petted or just be stroked, you know, the back of the neck, the chin.
Oh, she loves me to go from her
tail
nose
base.
Up over her head and bend her ears back. She loves that. I know.
Yeah. It's not at all unusual. And I just usually, you know, we don't like to encourage even nibbling and biting behavior. You know, it's good if it is in a controlled fashion, but it's very easy for that to get to be out of hand with cats. So it's best we advise not to stimulate them in a way that will induce them to want to nibble or to bite on us. You know, I'd stay to those favorite areas, and then just, you know, when you notice that Tommy's getting a little bit kind of overstimulated, you know, the eyes are wide, the tail's swishing back and forth.
Yeah.
That's when you stop whatever you're doing, you know, because cats do have kind of like a hot button. Once you push it, it's no longer fun, and it becomes, you know, to where it could be overstimulating to them, and then they can bite or growl.
Okay.
Or
that's great. I guess I'm getting a lot in here, but is it normal for normal for cats to chase, like I have a couple mice and a little squiggly like an octopus that has catnip, and for them to be trained to come back and drop it at your feet, is that normal? I'm really happy.
Some cats.
She didn't do it at first, but after a while she started doing it, and I liked it.
Yeah, some cats will do that. It's not something we can count on with every cat, but there are definitely kitties that enjoy a good game of fetch. And so that is fun. It's a great way to, you know, have her dispel some energy. So, yeah, you should enjoy. You have a really cool cat there.
Yeah, and she lets me know when she's ready to stop, because she doesn't bring the animal back. So I said, okay, she's done. And one last question. Should I feed her? She's 4 months old. I try to keep some food in her dish. If I'm going to be away for 2 or 3 hours, I put a little bit more in so I know she has something to eat. And then I'm trying to accustom her to a 5 o'clock supper when I fill it up, you know, more. Because I sort of think like human babies drink milk every two hours or whatever. But she's getting a little big and I don't want to overdo it. So how should I schedule her feeding?
Well, there's two schools of thought. There's the meal feeding or open bowl feeding. And with either one, the important thing is to actually make sure you are measuring the daily amount. So that gets a little hard to do sometimes if we just get used to pouring and filling a bowl without actually calculating and measuring the daily amount. Whichever method works for you and her, I am fine with. But cats are meant to be nibblers. For cats that are actually in the wild, they eat anywhere from 10 to 20 times per day. So, you know, just to provide it once a day is not enough. Twice a day for many house cats will be fine, but for other cats we may need to do it more often, or to make the food more interesting and put them in food dispensing toys where they can kind of knock it around and kind of practice, you know, predatory behaviors and like they're hunting for their food, and that can make them a little bit more stimulated and more enriched in their environment. So that's a nice thing to look at if you have
put a toy in with their food, you're saying? A little.
Well, there are actually what they call food dispensing toys that have different shapes. There's one that I believe is a kitty exerciser. There's all sorts of different types, but they're little, almost like puzzle toys where you put some of the dry kibble inside and they learn how to kind of push it around, manipulate it, and pieces of food will then fall out. So it kind of gives her something to do, and it also, you know, it helps to take us a little bit out of the equation, so we're not always the one kind of entertaining our cat. They can kind of self-entertain a little bit, too.
All
so
right.
Look into
all right.
that. But, yeah, it's, just look online
it's
for
good
those.
To put a little bit in when I'm going to be away for 2 or 3 hours, and then I know she's not going to get hungry, or if that's going to be over the amount. Because the bag says half a cup, and I think I give her a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Like I said, if you do twice a day feeding, you know, you're just measuring that amount out and give half in the morning, mm-hmm. half at night, that's fine. No need, you know, she'll be fine if she's not eating for a couple hours, as long as you're not going to be away for a longer period of time. Then you may want to have more of a food dispenser or a larger supply for her to nibble on.
Okay. So I'll finish with, when you see a vet either day or night, it's a sure bet that you're doing it right.
I like that.
Write that down if you want to. Thank you so much. I love your show and the personality of all you folks. You're just crazy enough, and I really enjoy the show.
Well, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate that.
And I'll be listening.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Now, that making biscuits thing,
yeah.
Don't kittens do that to lactate the breasts, and something that they keep doing throughout their life?
Yeah, and you know, there's not a single answer on where we think this behavior comes from, but that is how they stimulate mama's breast area to help stimulate milk flow. So that's part of it. But also there's, you know, scent pads the bottoms and the feet. So cats actually can essentially also be scent marking us when they're doing this behavior as well. So, you know, there's different schools of thought of where this behavior comes from, but either which way, it's generally a pretty pleasant sensory experience, and it means we've got a happy cat.
For them. For me, I have a red belly that's all torn up. And
you just need to trim some toenails, that's all.
I'm afraid
your
of cat scratch fever. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to do mine, okay?
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
The future looked bleak for Scooter, the abandoned and paralyzed ferret, until he was paired up with Bill Higbee, a sort of ferret fanatic from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Higbee, sometimes called the ferret guy, adopted Scooter and even built him a little ferret wheelchair that allows him to move freely around the house. Higbee takes Scooter to the vet once a week for acupuncture, explaining how they're trying to get his chi flowing. All this love, attention, and chi adjusting is doing the trick. Higbee says Scooter is happy and improving every week. Now, isn't all this extra care a little over the top? Nope. Higbee says it's just what you do for your family. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Check out Animal Radio highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
All of us here at Fido Friendly Magazine can't wait to get on the road again with our favorite Fido. We know that it's just not a vacation without our furry companions by our side. Start daydreaming now and visit FidoFriendly.com to scout out places near and far so you will be ready for your next adventure once it's safe to travel. That's FidoFriendly.com. Until then, stay safe and leave no dog behind.
Well, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Before you pop open another can of pet food, You'll want to hear Jacqueline Bowen. She's the executive director of the Clean Label Project, and she's our guest in a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. We are also taking your calls. If you have questions for Dr. Debbie or Joey Villani, the dog father, it's toll-free. Doesn't cost you a penny, from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. And we're going to do a quick check of the news in about 10 minutes with Miss Lori Brooks, our Miss Brooks. What do you have coming up?
Well, more and more these days, animal-loving people are getting together. So a lot of times they're, you know, getting so together, they're falling in love and merging their homes and households. And that usually includes with animal-loving people, lots of pets. So we'll share for you some tips and tricks of getting your pets on both sides together successfully to lead to a less stressful home.
It could be tough. I know when you're dating, you find out that she already has cats, and you're wondering if they're going to get along with your cats. That could be a deal breaker right there. So you're going to tell us.
And we talked about those people who would rather spend time with their pets than their animals. That kind of sends the other person out the door.
Yeah, I just scratched.
Especially if they don't like your pet.
Yeah, you're in trouble. You're in trouble then. Okay, so we'll find out how to make it a little bit easier coming up with Lori Brooks in just a few minutes.
Hal, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because it's better asking a guy than a woman. When's the last time you changed your hairstyle?
What was that?
Yeah. When was the last time you changed your hairstyle?
You mean he's supposed to change it?
Yeah. It's been long hair all my life. And Lori can vouch for that.
30 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 30 years for Hal, I think. At least.
Yeah, I've known him 20 years and it hasn't changed.
Yeah. So what are you knocking my hairstyle or what? What's going on?
No. I'm not knocking your hairstyle, but this is what I want to say is a lot of people, they go into a grooming salon, and being that, you know, spring is really right here, right around the corner, maybe it's time to change your dog's haircut. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is they go to the groomer and they want one particular thing. And, you know, for the most part, and I'm going to say 90% of every client that comes in wants it, you know, short and even and easy. But you know what? Why not add a little bit of style to your pet? I mean, people don't realize there are a lot of different styles for different dogs, different breeds, body types, tail types, head types, ear types, everything for your pet. I mean, and you can almost, you know, rework a whole dog. I mean, I wish you can do it with people, but you can make fat dogs look skinny. You can make short dogs look tall. You can make tall dogs look short.
Wouldn't that be great if you could do that for humans?
Yeah.
I'd be up for that.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people just don't realize it when it comes to their pet. So basically, when you go to your grooming salon, put your pet in style. I mean, your pet is a reflection upon you. You walk your pet every day. And the ones that have the really outstanding haircuts, you know, they, believe it or not, people do stop them and say, hey, where do you get your dog groomed? And it makes them feel good because it feels like, you know, they're taking care of their pet. But when you go to your professional groomer, ask them for the different styles, because I am sure they would be really happy to pull out that scrapbook that they never open up.
Really?
Of all these dogs that they've groomed over the years and want to do something different. Because we always want to do something different because it makes our world exciting. And I just want to let people know there's a lot of different styles of haircuts that you can do for any pet, whether it's a purebred or a mixed breed.
I'm of the mindset that an animal has to look like the breed. The cut has to be a certain breed, so all breeds have to look alike.
Well, I agree with you a little bit there. I mean, I love the standard breed cuts. I like Airedales look like Airedales. I like Kerry Blues look like Kerry Blues. But a lot of people don't like the maintenance of these trims. So what they'll do is they'll do something short and modified where it kind of looks like the breed trim, maybe not. But most of the pets now that we're seeing come in, we don't see as many purebreds as we used to. So you get a lot of mixed breeds and a lot of designer dogs like Labradoodles, Golden Doodles, Aussie Doodles, which don't have a look yet, you know. So they're being developed as they go. But the good thing about it is there's so much you can do with them to make them look really, really good.
Now, I'm wondering, I have, you know, bulldogs and pit bulls. I don't think there's a lot of choice there. Is there something for me, too?
That color.
Color, yes. Hey, there you go. That was what I was going to say. The only thing you can do is color. And if they're dark breeds, then, you know, then it kind of gets tough because then we got to strip out the color to put, you know, fancy color in. And sometimes that's just a little damaging.
I'm gonna speak for the dogs because they can't. Leave me alone. I like my haircut just the way it is. That's what the dogs are saying right now.
I don't agree, Hal. I think they're saying, you know what? I want to be noticed. I want something special. I want to strut my stuff. I want people to look at me.
Oh, you guys.
What do you say, Roro? I can't tell you what, you know, he's giving me that bulldog look, and I wouldn't touch him, Joey.
Joey, did you hear General Mills bought Blue Buffalo, one of the last great foods, for $8
billion? $8 billion. That's, you know, General Mills. So do we have to worry about recalls that they were going to find Captain Crunch, you know, in the dog food now? I mean, wow. What it does go to show is how much money is actually in the pet industry. Hopefully, sure, they'll, you know, maybe raise the standards a little bit compared to some of the
competitors. Hope that. You would think that they might, but
it goes
actually
the other way.
It goes down. Well, let's take a look at like Smucker's, for instance, just throwing that out. Smucker's, the jelly people who own Gravy Train, Kibbles and Bits. They also own Natural Balance, which we at one time was a really good food. And the quality of the ingredients that they sourced became the same as Gravy Train.
There's only going to be a handful of companies now. They're going to own all the different types of dog food. You look at the market, you look at the shelves, there's hundreds of food, and only going to be a handful of companies that own them and make them.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
And I'm Lori Brooks. There's another big buyout planned in the world of pet food. General Mills says it has agreed to buy out Blue Buffalo Pet Products for about $8 billion. General Mills will be paying about $40 a share for Blue Buffalo, which sells dog and cat foods under brands like, maybe you've heard, Blue Life Protection Formula, Blue Wilderness, and Blue Basics. Anyhow, the deal has been approved by both companies' boards of directors and such, but it does still need to be approved by government regulators. And this deal comes as global food giants of all kinds are out there snapping up makers of natural and organic pet products, which are really outpacing other brands when it comes to growth. Well, now more and more people with multiple pets are getting together, dating or moving in together. Pet people are attracted to each other, but everyone needs to be aware of how to introduce pets properly. Experts say just like when your pet first met your new significant other, same thing. Plan to make the meet and greet of each of your pets on neutral territory, which is a whole lot easier to do with dogs, right, than it is with cats. With dogs, of course, you can easily take them for a walk, but one of the biggest issues that arises when merging pet households is making sure that all the animals get along. So start off on the right foot. Make it neutral territory to begin with. Perhaps the biggest challenge is when one pet is moving into another pet's home. Try to manage it in that case so that at least for a few weeks, the pet who lived there first gets the majority of the space, and don't move that pet's toys or food bowls or even their bedding until that adjustment period is over. There is no magic number of days or weeks, but just make sure that you know the signs of potential conflict, especially for dogs. Things to look out for with dogs include when they lower their tail or they start licking their lips or turning their head away or even cowering. And if you see a fight brewing between cats, separate them before it gets out of hand. Finally, Malcolm Alexander. He spent nearly 4 decades in prison for a crime he did not commit. Fortunately, though, the Innocence Project worked on Malcolm's case, and he got the proof needed to prove his innocence, but only after spending 38 years behind bars. Now, however, when he left prison, Mr. Malcolm Alexander was not alone. In fact, the day after he was freed, he got to reunite with a dog that he had raised behind bars. The dog was a 9-month-old puppy. Her name is Innocent, or he called her In for short. And as a well-behaved inmate, Mr. Alexander was allowed to have Innocent with him as a companion animal in prison as part of a special program which allowed the dog to even go to his prison work sites with him. He's just happy to have Innocent with him. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, it's Alan Cable. Let's talk about dog behavior. Dogs need attention. They need your attention. It doesn't matter if it's positive attention or negative attention. If you're giving your dog attention, he thinks you're rewarding him. The best way to teach your dog how to behave is to only give him affection and attention when he's doing the right thing, the thing that he should be doing. Ignoring your dog and taking attention away from him is powerful. Turning and walking away. Turning your back on him. Totally ignoring him. Let's say you bring your dog in from the street and you want to clean his paws with a towel. You get him to go down, and when you start to clean his paws, he starts moving around and fidgeting, and you start getting frustrated. So you start talking to him. Lay still. Well, the more frustrated you get, the more you try to get him to lay there and let you clean his paws, the more he's going to get excited and jump around. So what's the answer? As soon as he starts to get excited, you just stand up quickly and stare off into space. Or walk away into the house and leave him there for a couple minutes. You might have to do it over and over again, but eventually he's going to get the message that if he acts that way, you're not going to pay any attention to him. You're not going to touch him. He'll start to realize that the bad behavior's not working anymore. And when your dog gets the idea that you want him to lay still, or you want him to just lie down when people come over and ring the doorbell, he's going to do it because your dog wants to please you, and he wants to be with you. It's important to understand that dogs are very sensitive to you, your body language, what you're doing, where you're looking, how you're carrying yourself. People get into trouble because they want their dogs to be there for them when they want them there. Then they want their dogs to do a disappearing act when they don't want them there, when they're not in the mood. They want to be able to flick the dog on like a light switch. Once you understand how dogs think, how they communicate, what their body language means, you can teach them just about anything. How to go to the bathroom outside, how to heel, sit, stay, how to behave when people come over to the house. The key to it all is patience, calm leadership, and total consistency so that your dog's able to learn the rules. Because dogs need rules. Doing that will make your dog calm and fun to be around. And don't forget, they need plenty of exercise. Get more tips at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It is Animal Radio. We love our pets, and we're very concerned about what they ingest, what they eat. And Lori just reported that General Mills bought Blue Buffalo for $8 billion. Holy moly.
Wow. Jeez.
There's really only a handful of companies that own all of these brands of food. You know, you go there, you go to the store, and you look, and you say, wow, how do I make a selection? There's an amazing selection and variety, but really there's only about three or four major brands, and they all source their foods from the same places. You might remember the melamine contamination many years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
That's when it became really evident that all of these foods are being sourced from the same place, and that it's all about branding for the companies. They want you to think that you're getting some special healthy food, but it's just all the same crap. You know who we have back on the show right now is Jacqueline Bowen. She's the executive director for the Clean Label Project, and she really woke me up to this whole problem a few months ago when they tested 99 pet foods and found everything from arsenic and heavy metals in the food. And, of course, she's on top of this whole thing that's going on with pentobarbital in food. Hi, welcome back, Jacqueline.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So for listeners that are just tuning in this week that don't understand how pentobarbital ends up in their food, in their cat's or dog's food, how does this happen?
Well, it's really interesting because right now the FDA has still not released the results of their investigation. One possible way is through contaminated ingredients. That one thing that we could possibly see is that the ingredients came from a rendered animal facility where essentially animals that had been euthanized or ended up ended up in the protein supply chain and were ultimately used in the creation of these finished products.
Okay, so this is a company, a big company, Smucker's, which we know for their jams and jellies. They own, how many pet foods do they have?
Many. I know at least in terms of part of the recall, I know that both Olroy was recalled, as well as Skippy, as well as, of course, Gravy Train and Kibbles and Bits. And that's only a small percentage of their overall portfolio of pet food brands.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about those particular brands of food before the pentobarbital was discovered in them? Were they good foods before that?
Well, it's interesting, and it really depends on what you're looking for. All of those particular products are value-priced products. So it's one where, you know, just because something is value-priced does not necessarily mean lower ingredient quality. But to your point earlier, one thing that we did identify, Olroy is actually the private label brand for Walmart. So for each of these products, clearly they are sharing the same ingredients.
And you know what? I just want to comment, because when we say pentobarbital, that doesn't mean what kind of animal it came from, because it's a medication that is actually used to euthanize not just dogs and cats, but large animals that are not meant to be in the food animal world. So the presence of pentobarbital, it doesn't mean necessarily this is a dog or cat that's ended up in food. Mm. It just means there is an animal. We'd have to do DNA testing to find out is what kind of animal meat.
So
is
it could have been a cow or a pig.
It's possible, but largely when it comes to different euthanasia drugs, you would be looking at dogs or cats or even horses. Typically, different types of stunning is used in the euthanasia of farm animals. So hopefully the FDA investigation will give us a little bit more insight of exactly the source of that contamination.
Are there any good foods out there?
You know, actually, based on our testing, and in 2017, the Clean Label Project released a pet food study where we tested nearly 1,100 of the best-selling dry and wet dog foods, cat foods, and treats in America. And while you do see a significant quality gradient between the top and bottom performing products, there's a bunch of really great products out there for consumers that are looking for something that's both healthy and nutritious, as well as low in industrial environmental contaminants.
I want to know how the pentobarbital was discovered. Was it discovered just doing regular testing, or were animals becoming sick?
So far, based on the investigation I've seen, as well as what Gravy Train has released, as well as the investigative reporter, Lisa Fletcher, is that it was just through routine testing for pentobarbital. Obviously, we had the Avengers recall from several months back, and knowing that just that particular brand was implicated at that time, I think it was just one where, you know, what is the breadth and depth of contamination within pet food? And just building off of that premise is ultimately where the pentobarbital was identified within these Gravy Train products.
We are with Jacqueline Bowen. She's the executive director of the Clean Label Project, and we're talking about the discovery of pentobarbital in dog food, many brands of dog food. And this is a drug that's used for euthanasia that may have come from rendered animals, horses, cows, pigs. We're not exactly sure. The FDA is doing investigations on that, and they're continuing investigations. And we're going to continue right after this break, so stick around.
Do you have Medicare, and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
I'm going to pepper spray you in the face.
Oh, thank you. Alan Cable, it's time for today's Kook Watch.
Thank you for leaving my kayak alone.
This lady in Alaska thinks a bear can understand what she's saying.
I'm going to pepper spray you in the face. That's what I'm going to do to you.
Huh. I don't think the bear liked it.
Go away. No, get away from the kayak.
If she just would have left the bear alone, he probably would have walked away.
Stop it, bear.
Why did you pepper spray me? I don't know about you, but if I were the bear, I'd be running from her voice.
Why are you here?
Incredible as it may seem, the bear isn't talking.
Oh, bear!
Why does she keep calling me bear? My name's Bobby.
Bear! Oh, bear!
And I thought Goldilocks was annoying.
Bear!
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
Oh, what did he say?
He said, we're all across the USA, the most listened to pet show today. Animal Radio, we're everywhere you go. Animal Radio. Animal Radio.
It's Animal Radio. We will go back to the phones in just a couple of minutes. First, we are with Jacqueline Bowen. She's the executive director of the Clean Label Project. She's no stranger to Animal Radio. She's really made me aware of just what kind of crap is out in our pet food. And it makes me a little bit leery, actually, to just go into a store, a pet store, and just pick a food anymore without at least consulting the website. You do have a database and a list of good foods and bad foods over at the website. Is that correct?
That's correct. So you can check out cleanlabelproject.org, look under pet food, and we have a 5-star rating system that we basically are able to pull all of the different test results across over 150 different industrial environmental contaminants and drill those down into an overall 5-star rating that you can check out on our website.
But and is there anybody in your pocket?
Nothing like that. No, I can tell you this, is that since we released that study, I definitely haven't received any Christmas cards.
Okay.
Different pet food brands, because at the end of the day, for us at Clean Label Project, I mean, it's marketing departments do such an effective job at selling comfort and security, and so for us, it's all about exclusively using data and science to be able to see past all those claims. It's really about the data and science.
So, what if my pet food is not on your list? If I can't find it, is there any way I can find out if pentobarbital is in one of the ingredients?
Well, I would definitely tell you this. And so when it comes to pentobarbital, there was over 100 products that so far were tested. And I'm hoping that with obviously all of the attention that this matter has received, that a lot more brands will be doing testing. So if you have any hesitation or any questions, overall, I encourage consumers just to speak up, ask your brands for literally details to substantiate any claims they have, and specifically ask if that product has been tested for pentobarbital.
Ooh, you're doing a certification program, aren't you?
That's correct. We do have a new certification program. So essentially the way that it works is it's for brands that are interested in getting certified and having the Clean Label Project on their package. And what we do is we require unannounced testing. What we look to do is literally simulate the consumer shopping experience. So we don't tell brands when or where, but we randomly pull products off store shelves, test it, and it needs to meet the strict requirements of the Clean Label Project Code of Practice.
And they can put their seal on their...
Pretty cool. How many people have, how many companies have come forward to say, hey, you know, try us?
It's just a handful so far, but it is a brand new program.
Yeah. Do you charge for that certification?
We charge just for the cost of literally to perform the testing.
So when I pick up a bag of food over at the store, I see this picture on the front of the bag that includes, it looks like a T-bone steak and some...
I would eat it.
Carrots and tomatoes and all these vegetables. Is that anything like what's in our food?
Oh, right? No. I mean, I can tell you this. It's fascinating because when you look at over 1,100 pet foods and literally a mass of over 75,000 data points, you see trends. And one thing is clear, is that the cleanest protein source when it comes to pet food is turkey, with the most contaminated ingredient by far being fish. When we think about the fish that we eat, when you think about fillets and those types of things, vastly different from what's put in pet food. In pet food, you're talking about things like the organ meat, the skin, the bones, the fat, and all of these have a tendency to bioaccumulate heavy metals, which is why you see these significant contamination within fish-based pet products.
So General Mills, we just learned this hour, General Mills bought Blue Buffalo for $8 billion. And Blue Buffalo started out as sort of a premium food. What do you think is going to happen now?
It could be pretty interesting to see. Obviously, General Mills, this will be their first foray into the kind of natural pet space. I think time will tell in terms of how Blue Buffalo can affect the rest of the brand or any additional quality assurance and quality control improvements that could possibly be made based on the influence of one of these legacy-type brands.
Okay. I appreciate you spending time with us. What's the website for listeners to check out?
Check us out at cleanlabelproject.org under pet food.
Jacqueline, always great to hear from. Well, it's sort of always great to hear from you. I mean, you give me some bad news, but I like hearing from you. So you check in anytime you want. Jacqueline Bowen from the Clean Label Project. We'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. We got to get on out of here. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you need your fix during the week, download the Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. It's a free app thanks to those folks over at Fear Free. If you happen to have a Yorkshire Terrier, a Shih Tzu, a Pug, or a Mini Schnauzer, check out Dr. Debbie's books, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend, over at Amazon. They're Kindle books. Awesome books, by the way. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, and feed those babies some clean food, huh?
This is Animal Radio Network.